number 10 top resolutions in the United States this year was balance, getting my life balanced. And I'm not quite sure I know what that means. And then improving my relationships. But you know what? I think if you think about it, when we talk about balance, it's balancing what? It's balancing relationships. Whether it's at home or at work in your personal life, it's really all about relationships. You know, if you think about it, in the context of our lives, the quality and the strength of your life is really built out of the building blocks of relationships. Everything that we have, all that we become, is based on the quality and the caliber of our relationships. That's what it's all about. Every single thing. You know, the Bible calls Jesus the cornerstone. And I would dare say that if I could look at the quality of somebody's relationships in their lives, I could tell you about the quality of the structure that they're building. I could tell you by looking into the quality and the types of relationships that we have, how somebody's life is turning out. You know, we talked last week about becoming content. You know what? If somebody is not healthy and happy in their relationships, I promise you, they will not be content. It all comes down to our relationships. You know, when we do relationships God's way, as you'll see this morning as we go through this, it's all about how we connect with Him, with other believers, and with the world around us. Now that's why today's message I've entitled Relationships Greater Than Religion. Now, you don't normally hear something like that in a church because you know what? Most people expect that when you hear a preacher talk, it's going to be all about you've got to get in the church. When the doors are open, you've got to be here. You've got to get more religion in your life. Well, I'm here to tell you relationship is greater than religion because you know what? If you truly look at the purest form of religion, at least Christian religion, you know what it is? It is relationship. It's relationship to God. And then it's our relationships with one another and the world around us through the proper filter of a Christian love. It's all about relationship. Religion is ritual. Relationship is the real deal. Religion is all about programs. Relationship is all about people. Religion is what happens on the outside. Relationship is what happens on the inside. Relationships, not religion. It's all about the real deal. Now, when we talk about relationships God's way, somebody might say to me, Jeff, what do you mean? What do you mean relationships God's way? And I would say to you, we're back to this issue of real deal. Real deal up, in, and out. I want you to think about that because if you call the bridge home, I'm hoping that these will become some terms that you'll become very, very familiar and comfortable with. We need to have real deal relationships up to God, in with one another, insiders, believers, other Christians, and out to a world who has not yet learned of the beauty and the grace and the gift of a relationship with our God. So real deal relationships up to God, in with one another, and out to the world. That's what it's all about. Now here at the Bridge, we've got a strategy that encapsulates that. Our Bridge strategy, now some of you that call the Bridge home will know in church language, we call it fulfilling the Great Commission. But when you think about it, here's what that means. It means taking the love and the truth that we have as received as gifts from God, and helping others to know of that gift so they'll receive it, and then to help them grow in it. So here's what we talk about here at the Bridge. Our Bridge strategy is simple. Three E's. We want to equip, we want to encourage, and then we want to empower a growing intimacy with God, our relationship up. We want to equip, encourage, and empower that relationship up to God, in with one another, this growing community. That's a church word, but here's what it means. Just being truly, truly close friends, where we do life together, like what you saw here in the drama, where we grow in our sense of true loving community with one another, And then we grow in our influence with the outside world. What we did yesterday, that chili bowl, I was told that over 150 people were counted at lunchtime. You know what? That was all about growing in influence with the outside world. Why? Because most folks think of church and they say, oh yeah, that boring old, that's where all the boring folks go. That's where you've got to look, sound, act, talk like everybody else. Yeah, yeah. Most of them are a bunch of hypocrites anyway. You know, they never act the same way during the week that they do on Sunday. You just know that. Yesterday was all about telling the world and the community around us, you know what? There's a place where you can go, where you can meet Jesus in jeans, where you'll hear him in plain speak, and where the folks just have fun. You know what? It's not a bunch of Jesus freaks that you got to be afraid of. You know, come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Real deal Christianity says, you know what? I'm all about getting closer to God, closer to my brothers and sisters, and doing whatever I can to help others receive this gift so the family grows. That's what it's all about. And that's our strategy. Three prongs. Up, in, and out. We want to equip, encourage, and empower. More intimacy with God, closer community to one another, and more influence with the world around us. Now, Matthew 22:37. You'll see this morning that there's not a whole lot that we're going to cover because my focus is very narrow today. It's all about the relationships that will build the building of your life. I want to help you build a structure out of the building blocks of healthy, loving relationships. And that's what we're going to look at. Let me show you what God's word says in Matthew 22:37. Because here's the thing. God said, you know what? You don't need anything outside of what I've put in this Bible for you. And one of the things I love about looking at Jesus' ministry in particular is so many times he cuts through the quick. You know, in Jesus' days, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the religious big shots of their day. The Jewish religious big shots. They had taken what God had given them and they had worked up over 600 commandments. 600 plus rituals. You got to do this and you got to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. Many of which were totally man-made garbage. So much baggage and junk. You know what? This is God's word. This is it. No more, no less. We don't edit anything out, and we don't staple any cabooses onto it. This is it. Well, in Jesus' ministry, there's a time, and this is where we're coming to in the scriptures, there's a time where some of these big shots are trying to trip him up. And one of them comes up to him and he says, okay, Mr. Jesus, you seem to know everything. Of all that is out there, what's the most important of all the commandments? In Matthew 22:37, this is Jesus' answer. God's word says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now think about that. All your heart, that's all of your desires, all of your want-tos, all the things that your life is driving towards. He says, you know what? Put God first. Put me first in your want-to list. You got a wish list? Put me at the top of it. Everything that you're driving to and committing yourself to, just do it through the filter of your relationship with me, with all your soul. In the context of their day, that was the same as saying your life. He's saying, you know what? Be willing to give your life away to pursue a relationship with me. Now, some were literally martyred at this time. You know, this book was written somewhere around 50 to 80 years after Jesus had been crucified. And there was some serious, serious persecution going on. So this idea of love me with your whole soul, your whole life. Now, some, it's a matter of being dedicated to pursuing God-honoring ventures. Do whatever you can to help more people learn about me and to come into relationship with me. Others, it was saying, if and when death is staring you in the face, when you love me with your whole soul, if need be, your life will be given to lift up this kingdom. I mean, that's major, major league. Now, some of us that have the the wonderful privilege of practicing our faith openly in the Western world can't really relate to this. But I'll tell you what, there are people in China, there are people in Northern Africa who, because they say, yes, I am a Christian, are being massacred, even today. One of the church fathers said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Many of us live in privilege, not truly understanding what was said here. But I'll tell you what, this is true. It's true for all of us. If God calls your life out, whether it's to do something in ministry or to simply be a beacon in a dark world, we need to be willing to give our life to pursue that relationship with God. And then he says, in all your mind, all of your thoughts, all of your faculties, what do you think about? What do you concentrate on day in and day out? Are we thinking about getting that next job? Are we thinking about, oh, if we just get that extra bedroom and a bigger house? Are we thinking about the next trophy in life? Or are we saying, I love you, Lord, with my whole mind? What would you have for me today, Lord? What do you have coming around the corner for me today, Lord? Would you give me an opportunity to meet somebody today, Lord? Would you sensitize me to the opportunities that you walk across my life every day that in the past I recognize I've been a little numb to? Will you think about him? That's the whole question here. You see, a life filled with God, not religion. Hear me now. Not about. Do you know how often I'm in the church? I volunteer in every committee. I'm there all the time. That's not it. It's not a life filled with religion or a life filled with religious activity. It's a life filled with God. A life that's filled with God from heart, soul, and mind. And in the book of Mark, he goes so far as to say, and with all your strength, with all of your unction. A life that's filled with God in that way, my friends, is a life that is ready for relationship. Let me show it to you the one way. There are folks with a ministry called Man in the Mirror, and they have blessed me in many ways. And I'm going to show you one of the ways that they've blessed me. We talk about relationships, and I just said a life filled with God is a life ready for relationships. This cup is empty. Now, I would say to you, no matter what you put in your cup, no matter what you put in your cup, trophies of life, money, power, prestige, if your cup is not filled with God, you are not ready for relationships. You might have them, and they might not even be bad per se, but they are not what you could be. They are not what you could have. You see, relationships, I had an uncle that once gave me great advice. When I proposed to Kim and we were engaged, or I think I was telling him I was about to propose to Kim, he said to me this thing, and I thought he was absolutely profound, and he was. He said, Jeff, people are going to tell you all over the place that your relationship with Kim is going to depend on and grow based on how well you can give and take. It's got to be 50-50. Got to be right down the middle. Otherwise, things get weighted and skewed, and it's not right. And my uncle said to me, don't buy into that. My uncle Art said, you know what, Jeff, here's the secret. It's got to be 100-100, give, give. Now, I thought my uncle was brilliant. I thought he had shared with me wisdom from his own mind. And I'm very thankful for my uncle, and he was profound. But you know what? He wasn't sharing from his own mind. He was sharing God's truth. That's a biblical principle. You see, relationships are not about timing your giving and your taking. Relationships, God's way, is finding a way to pour into somebody else. God's types of relationships doesn't keep score. There's no scale in a godly relationship. Okay, there's no, well, you know, this has been four in a row. Let's go. It's a little give and take here. A godly relationship says, how can I bless you? It's my privilege to try to pour out into your life. And I'm telling you, if you have no God in your life, you have nothing of value to pour out. Now, I share with you from the pains of my life, and I tell you oftentimes, this comes from experience. I tried for a long time to pour privilege and prestige and power and other people's envy into my family's life. And you know what? I gave them some of those things. And what I gave them was an empty cup. If you're going to pour out and have a godly relationship, you've got to have something inside before you can actually give anything away. You see, and this is where our relationship with God, this is the up component. We want to help people to grow in their intimacy with God because it's through God and our relationship with Him that we get filled up. Now, some of you say, amen. I know that. Some of you say, that's right, Jeff. That's right. But let me ask you this. I had a friend that's here this morning said to me last week, so I'm so happy that we're getting into these community groups because I'll tell you what, I need it. And I said, I understand. He said, no, I don't think you understand. You see, Sunday, things are awesome. But by Sunday afternoon, as early as Sunday afternoon, I start having these problems. You see, you don't know what it's like. As soon as I get away from the church, I mean, I got people in traffic. I got other things at home that are driving me crazy. You don't understand. He said, you know, as much as I felt filled up and as much of God that I poured into my life on Sunday morning, I mean, my kids, I don't know if it's this age or what. You know, my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, it's like they're just trying to irritate me sometimes. You know, and I mean, we were both in church together. We're a Christian family. It's not like we don't understand. This is not a heathen family you're talking to, preacher. But let me tell you, when that guy cut me off in Food Lion's parking lot, oh boy, that was two. That one cost me two right there. And now, I mean, it's not even Sunday night yet. And I start thinking about work tomorrow. And I got this thing that's due. And, you know, I'm not sure if I should just step up and say, you know, you don't understand, boss. I had three kids, you know, things just went crazy. This flu's going around. Our house has been down for 2 weeks. So I was thinking I might just lie a little bit about it, you know. Well, I might lie a lot, all right? And you know what? That guy's a jerk anyway. Oh, sorry. I'm not supposed to say that. He doesn't understand. He doesn't care about my family. You know, everything that's going on out there is just driving me nuts. And then, well, you know, there's this person that keeps flirting with me in the office. I'm not flirting with them. They're flirting with me, but I kind of like it. Oh, no. Sunday. Hey, Pastor Jeff, how long till Sunday? Well, I'll tell you what, it's all about not the religion. It's about the relationship. And you know what? It's only God that can fill your cup. And it's only God that is the filling. But you know what? Each one of us has the opportunity, wherever we are, every day, say, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, whew. All right, I'm doing all right. I'm doing better. I'm filled back up. You know what? Because we can pray wherever you are, Lord, help me. Help me right now. Oh, I tell you what, that guy cut me off. It's the second time I know that car. Help me. Here it comes. You know what? If Griffin says that same thing to me one more time, I'm going to go crazy. What is wrong? My boy is brilliant, and yet he keeps saying this thing that's driving me crazy. Oh, okay, Lord, help me. Well, what happens when you say to me, you know what? I understand that, Pastor Jeff, and it is helping. Look, you know, I am getting continuously refilled, but boy, I tell you what, going a whole week, Sunday to Sunday, and having to fill on my own, you know what would help is if I could get around some other brothers and sisters who understand my cup. If I could get around some others who would say to me, you know what? You're not alone. You're not alone. And I love you. And I want to help you. And all of a sudden, it doesn't change the reality of our world. Nobody is going to come to you and give you some kind of promise that they can make all the storms and all the challenges of life go away. No, that's not an option for any of us. Not a single one. But I'll tell you what, that's why we're so committed to community groups here at the Bridge. That's why you've heard about it for 3 weeks running. It's why we've put such an effort into this morning to show you the power of Christian relationships. Because we truly do want to help everybody grow up in intimacy with God, in with one another. Because you know what? It's when we get together that we help one another. There are things that we can do for one another that a non-believer just simply cannot understand and cannot provide. You know, when I talk to some of my family members and I say, you know, I've got this challenge going on. Well, maybe you'll get lucky and such will happen. That doesn't help me. There's no luck involved. But I talked to Bob Friday. Or I talked to Greg, who's done such a great job on the camera. Amen to that. If you've appreciated what you've been seeing in film, would you just say thank you to Greg? What a wonderful, wonderful blessing he is to us. But you know what? I get off the phone with my dad and he tells me, you know, well, if you have any luck at all, this will... And Greg says to me, hey, I know it's not luck. Let me pray for you, brother. Let's pray together. It makes all the difference in the world. We can do things together for one another that nobody else outside of the family of faith can ever possibly do. That's so, so key. You know, we can't, not any one of us, push anybody into a relationship with God. We can't wish anybody into a faith-based relationship with Christ. But you know what we do and why we're so key on these community groups is because we can create environments. Environments where people are most apt to respond to what God is doing and to God's invitation. We do a chili bowl because there are 150 plus people that were willing to go play football and eat some chili that might not be willing to step into a place like this on Sunday morning. And it gives us an opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus loves you and so do I. And we're not half bad. And you ought to check it out. Because you know what? More than just having some fun on the football field, we have fun and we have this thing, this difference that God has given us. And man, I'd love you to have it. That's why we do those things. It's all about creating these environments. Because we know this. History has shown that you're not going to have a major dramatic life change and go from here with bitter sorrow and no hope to here where you're walking in the light and the gift and the grace of God. So few people take that giant leap. But you know what? If we can create environments where they say, well, I don't want to cross the Grand Canyon, but I'll go play football. You know what? I don't want to cross the Grand Canyon, but I understand you actually have some pretty cool music and you guys are doing some pretty hip stuff where it's not like regular church. I'll try that. You know, I'm not so sure that I'm ready to go to church, but my neighbor has invited me to this group thing. I don't mind going to their house and kind of checking them out that way. That's what we're all about. We're trying to create these opportunities through environments to help people fill their cup. Everybody. It's the same thing. Now, before I get too far into this, because I know a lot of people, they hear this, oh, church small groups, oh, community groups, call it what you want. Listen, back up, big fella. I don't want any part of that. I've heard what this stuff is all about. I may have even tried it once or twice. I want to show you a couple of clips to put your mind at ease. Okay, I don't want you to have to worry. Take a look at this, because I want you to know this is not... I repeat, this is not what you're getting into.
And oh God, we just pray that anyone else who comes tonight will be blessed by being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I wonder who that could be. Well, how they dolly do? It's the Davidsons. They're late, but they're here.
Why are they late?
Well, did you have a problem with your prompt plan, or did you get lost?
We start at 7. We like promptness. Promptness in a person is good.
We were getting ready to start an all-purpose meeting, but we were waiting for you. A couple of dollars holding up a dollar.
Well, where's your dessert? Didn't you bring a dessert? Where's the brownies?
Hey, look, everybody. They didn't bring a dessert.
No dessert.
dessert?
No treats. Well, we'll let that go.
Tell you what, you just tell me your deepest, darkest personal sin, and we'll just let you right in here, my friend. No, no, leave. Come on back. Come on now. You two come right in here. Tell you what, let's forget the sin, and I'll just teach you the holy handshake. It goes like this. Jesus, 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 Holy Spirit.
You're right home now. You're among friends. Come on in. We're going to pray for you.
All right.
All right, let's pray. Will you just get right down on your knees?
You're done.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, in heaven tonight. God, we pray for these poor sinners. You give them a spirit of politeness and the ability to make rallies. God, we pray that you bless them and they'll be saved tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we ask for this. Amen.
Amen.
God gave them a spirit of promptness and the ability to make brownies. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about having some fun. Every time we get together, we're going to do three things. We're going to pray together. Not like that. We're going to learn some things together. And we're going to have fun together. Now, let me show you another version. This is kind of the newfangled, touchy-feely kind of way out there. Let me show you the old school, because we're not going to be like that either.
I'm old and I'm not happy. And all these people at church wanting to learn about being in small groups or home groups or adult groups or whatever they call them. Why, in my day, we didn't have small groups. Our church was a small group. Why, if we had as many as 7 people there on Sunday morning, we thought it was the rapture. That's the way it was, and we liked it. In my day, we didn't have all this fancy schmancy training for leaders wanting to be more effective. Now, in my day, we had exactly 5 minutes for small group leader training. We took them to a back room where we pulled out their nose hairs one by one to develop an endurance for pain. Your small group's not going to do their homework. Yeah! They're not going to show up on time. Yeah! They're going to eat all the cookies before the lesson. Yeah! That's the way it was and we liked it. My day, we didn't have an open chair philosophy worrying about new people who might fit into the group. In my day, if you had a lump on top of your shoulder where you could rest your hat, that's all you needed to be in a group. All the better if you were still breathing. That's the way it was, and we liked it. In my day, we didn't try to find creative ways to get people into our group. In my day, anything creative was evil. Why, if you so much as crossed your legs while you were sitting in the pews, it was considered dancing. We were having none of that. The congregation would flog you, and the deacons would have a special meeting about you after the service. Now, we knew the kind of people we wanted in our group and who we didn't. I mean, how are we supposed to share our concerns about the widow Crabtree if she's sitting right there in the group? Now, we made sure those chairs were filled with the right folks. That's the way it was, and we liked it. Oh, I long for the days when we were just a bunch of nose hair pullers who never crossed our legs, sitting around with people just like us and no empty chairs. That's the way it was, and we liked it. We loved it.
Those are two great examples of exactly what we're not talking about. Now, I'll bet you that you've either seen, heard of, or been a part of a couple of those nightmares. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about what God's Word says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Short verse, very sweet. This is what it says. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. You know what? That first one, bunch of religious garbage, bunch of hokey-pokey stuff, that was not Christian love, and that was not Christian relationship. The second one, where you've got this, I know exactly what I want, they've got to look like me, sound like me, act like me, and it's going to be painful, and that's the whole, It misses the whole point. We're going to devote ourselves to one another. Because you see, it's in that relationship that we're most apt to help one another grow up in intimacy with God. It's only when we're together, truly doing life together, talking about teenage problems to teenage problems, or parent problems to parent problems, if you're on the teenage side, or just real life knowing that, hey, somebody cares. That's where it all happens, and that's what it's all about. I pray that you will take the time after service. We've got this week, and next week we begin. I've actually pushed us back 1 week, so we will not begin this Monday through Friday, but we will begin either next Sunday, because we have a group that meets on Sunday nights, or that week or the following Sunday for that particular group, because I want to give you 2 more weeks to sign up. About half of us have signed up already, and I want to encourage everybody to sign up and become a part of one of these groups, because you know what? You will grow closer to God together. You will grow closer together in community. And together in community, we will help one another to leverage our influence to reach the world. That's what it's all about. That's what it is all about. So I say this, are you looking for community? Are you looking for community? I would say to you, if you say no, yes, you are. You just don't know it. Because unless you are truly content in every facet of your life, and unless you know that you've got a reservation stamped and ready to go in heaven, there's room for improvement. Each and every one of us can be blessed and grow closer to God and one another and sharpen our skills. The book of Proverbs says this, that iron sharpens iron. Even if you say, listen, I am like this with God, we are tight. And I know every Christian brother and sister this side of the Mississippi. Even if you don't feel there's a need from the first two categories, we will grow sharper together in being able to reach the world that needs Christ. That's what it's all about. You see, Matthew 22:39 says this. This is the second half of the verse I shared with you earlier. When Jesus was asked, of all these commandments, 600 plus, hey, Jesus, what's most important? See, I read you the first half of his response. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But Jesus went on and he said this in verse 39. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. Who's my neighbor? You know, we could go through scripture. I could have taken you to what is called the parable of the Good Samaritan. Neighbor is written all throughout the Bible. The Good Samaritan, this is somebody who said, you know what? It's not about what people think. It's not about my title. It's about caring. You see, this person went down and got hurt. They got beaten up and flogged. And this priest comes walking by, sees this bloody pulp of a person. Jesus tells a story, and the priest, not only didn't he help, he crossed the street to get away and pass by. He didn't want to get close. Next guy comes along, he's a Levite. He's another religious leader of their day. Somebody called out to be God's helper. Cross the street, walk by. Samaritan comes along, and the Samaritan, to just give you a quick study, was the worst of the worst. It was the pond scum of their day in the eyes of the Jewish leaders. They were half-breeds. They were those that left the Jewish faith and went and intermarried with the people that God told the Israelites not to mess with. So all the pompous Jews looked at those Samaritans and said, oh, they're scum. You don't even want to talk to them. You don't go near them. And Jesus says, then the Samaritan comes walking by. And what does he do? He pours out his heart. He not only helps him, he carries him. He pays for his bills to get him up and healthy. And then Jesus says to these Pharisees, these big shots later, now who was the good neighbor? And you know, if you look at your Bible closely, you'll see that these pompous religious big shots couldn't even get themselves to say it was the Samaritan. They said, oh, it was the one that showed mercy. They wouldn't even let the word Samaritan come off their tongue. One so pompous, so filled with self and religion. And Jesus says, no. The good neighbor is the one with the heart. The one that loved, that cared. And I would say to you in our context, the good neighbor, The person that has the healthy, godly relationships are those that help other people grow in intimacy with God, grow closer as a community of believers, and take that those two components and then funnel them into trying to do all they can to reach a world and gain influence with folks that just need to hear this good news. The very next verse in that passage, Jesus says, I'll tell you what the most important is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40 says this, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. You see, they had 600 plus rules and regulations. And Jesus said, you know what? You want to get this down? I'll tell you what, forget the 600. Just get these two, put them in your heart, and live it. Love God, love people. People come in two styles. Insiders, fellow believers. Outsiders, those who have not yet heard the good news and accepted Christ. And I've told you this before, there are a lot of religious people that get real pompous. You know, and well, you know, I don't think that our church would do well if somebody like that came. Our church is here for the people like that, quote unquote. Jesus went to the people that needed him, and he scoffed at and he dogged the religious hypocrites. That's a pretty good model for us to follow. It's not about the religious. It's about the people that need Jesus. That's what we're here to do. Help everybody grow in intimacy with God, community with one another, and influence with the world. As you consider signing up for one of our community groups, I want you to know that each unit, whether you do it as an individual or as a couple, as a family, we have some materials for you. The first time we're going to get together, we're going to have a 10-week window where we've got a curriculum already established. It's a small fill-in-the-blank book with some stuff to think about during the week, and then a series of CDs and a little DVD with a movie in it. This package books, or it comes off the shelf at $35 per set. We've got a special deal, and we've got them for $25 per set. We at the Bridge are so committed to this idea of us getting in community together that the church is going to pay half of that cost. Your cost to get a part of this curriculum is $12.50 for a $35 packet that we'll use together for 10 weeks. And if you have children, if you say, you know what, I'd love to do that, but you don't understand, babysitting is killer. And I don't like free church babysitting because I'll tell you what, the kids that are willing to do that are wackos. You know, I don't want those people running my children. Or I see them, they all get together and it's like just chaos. We understand that too. You find whoever you want to babysit your children. And if cost of childcare is a prohibitive issue to you being involved in one of these community groups, the church will pay for your babysitting. You pick your babysitter, whoever you want to babysit your children. If you've got one child, we'll pay $5 per hour. Two children, we'll pay $6 an hour. If you have multiple children, we'll pay up to $7 per hour. And most of these groups are going to meet once a week for about 90 minutes. So a couple hours of babysitting. The church will pay so that you will not have any barriers to getting into an environment where you are most likely to grow closer in intimacy with God, community with one another, and influence to the world. Let me take a look at something else.
Hey guys, I've had a lot of fun tonight. I want to thank you for inviting me. And, you know, it's silly, but never mind.
No, it's okay. What's on your mind? We're here to listen, too.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I've known you guys for a while, and there have been things that I've wanted to talk with you about, but I couldn't. Well, here I feel safe enough to do that. Does that sound stupid?
Not at all. That's why we think community groups are so important. I've learned a lot about God and the Bible, and sometimes it's hard to talk about the things that really matter. You have to know that what you think or say will be valued.
And not just valued, but like we were saying before, you feel safe. It's kind of like what happens at community stays at community.
And at the end of the day, we're here just to pray, read the Bible, or do whatever we can for one another. We want our relationships to mirror the one we have with Jesus.
Now that we're on topic, this is the Bible. You've got to try this.
You've got to try this. The Bible. Doing life, doing relationships God's way. We as a church family are making major, major commitments to open up that door to you. Because for all of us, it's critically important. I mean, this is your chance. Hear me very closely. This is your chance. If you're one of those folks that says, you know, why doesn't God ever talk to me? You know, why don't I ever have one of those burning bush opportunities? This is your opportunity. The door is open to you to come into an environment where you can and will, if your heart's desire is to grow closer in intimacy with God, that will happen. To gain a relationship network of Christian brothers and sisters that go beyond the friendly smiles of a Sunday morning, where you truly begin to do life together, not in a freaky way with some wacko Jesus freak pumping you for desserts, not some old guy threatening to pull nose hairs, just real life. All of us, you know, we're the same. We're the same inside. Do you know that scientists would tell you that if you were to look at each human being on the planet, that we are over 99% identical? The differences in us are made up in a very small percentage of 1%. Our DNA is well over 99% identical. We're all in the same boat. We're all living life. We can all benefit and be blessed by growing closer to God, closer to one another, and sharing that blessing with other people. This is your opportunity. Jesus is calling you. Your Bridge family is ready for you. And there's a world of people that need you. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you now and I thank you so much for the example that you've given us. I thank you for the power and the direction and the light of your word. I thank you for the love that you have for us. That is the example, the Christ-likeness that we all pursue. Loving you, loving one another, and loving the Samaritans of our world. Father, I thank you that you've given us a church family that understands it's not about religion. Oh no, it's about relationship. Relationship up, relationship in, and relationship out. Let us be a lighthouse, not only on this island, but across the country and around the world. Let us be a place where and through whom you change lives. I thank you that you would love us enough to give us that privilege and that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.